Okay. We welcome everyone to the 14th lecture on the section of creation in the Guide for the Perplexed. And we are now beginning chapter 23. Chapter 23 is a short chapter, but rather involved. Its length does not reveal its depth. And we'll go through chapter 23, and we're going to try to understand the Rambam in chapter 23 is going to actually, on the basis of what's been argued since chapter 14, the Rambam basically is going to draw certain important conclusions, right, with respect to the clash or the difference of opinions between what he regards as the Torah's theory of creation and the Aristotelian theory of the eternity of the universe. Okay, once again, I'm going to be operating from the Schwartz edition. So it's Perchav Gimel in Chelek Sheni, and it appears on page 334. Okay, Perchav Gimel. I'll read the Hebrew, translate it to English, and then offer explanation. Da, says the Rambam, Shebashvo ben Hasfekas, Hamischaivim Bideya Kolchei, Uben Hasfekas Hamischaivim Mehefcha. In other words, when comparing the doubts that arise, or that one can raise with respect to one opinion, with the doubts that can be raised with respect to another opinion. In other words, we have two opinions that are opposing opinions. And one can raise doubts with respect to each opinion independently. And then one, by weighing the two opinions, and one is coming to decide which opinion to support, then one, of course, raises the doubts that exist with respect to each respective opinion. Right? Now, when a person comes to decide, right, upon one opinion, based upon the fact that there are less doubts. Now, less doubts, we have to put in quotation marks. Not less doubts in quotation marks, but the word less is put in quotation marks. Why? In other words, a person can't basically just sort of like enumerate the sfeikas, count how many sfeikas, how many doubts there are with respect to each opinion, and decide he's going to accept the opinion with the least number of doubts. In other words, the Maimonides is saying, what I'm saying is, that we don't accept an opinion based upon the fact that it has a numerically less amount of doubts than some other opinion. Ela es chumres ha'absurd shebehem, es hayois ha'metzios, the question is, what is the nature of these doubts? In other words, it could possibly be that theory one might have more doubts than theory number two, or opinion number two. On the other hand, though, the doubts of theory number two might be says the Rambam, more severe. In other words, they might be deeper doubts. In other words, to have this chumas absurd shebehem, they might be more absurd, right? There's a level of absurdity. In other words, reality, the reality of the world is much more radically different from that which is being proposed by the second theory. In other words, basically what the Rambam is saying here is very similar to what the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, that that, you know, we weigh a person based upon his merits and demerits, I guess, on Rosh Hashanah. But of course, it's not only the number of averus and mitzvahs that a person has, but also the severity, or the quality of the mitzvahs of averus too. Okay, so that's the Rambam is saying. In other words, yesh safek echad hu chama yoisa me'elam sfekas achayim. In other words, you might have one doubt on an opinion which in itself is so profound or so important that it might be equal to 1,000 other doubts. In other words, I could have a theory which has 999 doubts, and theory number one. Theory number two has one doubt, but the one doubt, the three, number two, is equal to 1,000 middle-sized doubts, regular doubts. So therefore, on the basis of this, I would rule, I would support theory number two over theory number one. Okay, this is very, very simple. Why the Maimonides, the Rambam, is being with us, we'll see a little bit later. Okay? Now, let's go on and continue here in chapter 23, page 335. Hashva zu titzlach, says Maimonides, this comparison will be successful, will be effective. Rak bidei mi sheshnei hafachim shavim be'enav. This is only if a person, this comparison will only be effective if the two opinions are, let's say, objectively equal in the eyes of the person who is making the comparison, right? Mi shemadiv de'achachas, if a person has a personal preference for one opinion, im beglal chinuch, if it's because of his education, the way he was brought up, im beglal to'elus kolshei, if there's something that he expects to gain from it, the Balei Musa of Desmond would call this a negia, right? So says the Rambam, who even mera'ois is a emes. Therefore, he will be blind from seeing the truth. In other words, if a person was brought up in a certain way, if a person has a certain hidden agenda, right? Then, in fact, actually, says Maimonides, that he will be blind, right? In other words, he will be blinded to the truth. And therefore, he will not be able to make what you would call an objective comparison. Shekein kalapi davish hucha chachachamayfsis layuchal adam bal paniya kisasis litakesh. Now, regarding things which have been proven to be true, that was rigorously proven to be true, right? The Rambam, clearly in Merit Avuchim, speaks on all different types of things which have been rigorously proven to be true. So says the Rambam, right, a person cannot be stubborn and say he doesn't accept this. In other words, anything which is proven to be true, a person can't say he doesn't accept this. So, for example, what are example of things that the Rambam has proven to be true? Well, the Rambam has proven to be true that God exists. The Rambam has proven it to be true that God doesn't have a body. So, according to the Rambam, a person, right, cannot be stubborn and not accept these things, depending upon, even despite he might have a background or an agenda to the contrary. Aval, klapi, devob, going eila, right? But, in other words, with respect to opinions which are hypotheses, which, you know, they do not have a clear logical and rigorous demonstration, efshalit akish habe, a person can be very, very obstinate, right? Avol yesh befsharuscha im tirtzlish tacha min apriya kisasis, in other words, lintoish es mashu hurgul or galt elav, l'smoich al iyun greida. But a person, if he, you know, it is possible, says the Rambam, the person can free himself from all different types of prejudices, right? And he could take leave of what his normal suppositions, and he could rely upon what's called Ian Graden. In other words, a person is capable of somehow extracting himself from his a priori prejudices, and the person could rely upon a certain amount of thought. And basically he can make a decision and choose to support, to choose one opinion over another opinion. That's what the Rambam is saying this. Now, why is the Rambam saying this? That's a very good question, right? But let's summarize once again what Rambam is saying. In other words, the Rambam is saying is that, in other words, something which has been rigorously proven, so a person has no choice. He has to accept this, right? The person cannot be so stubborn as to reject something which has been rigorously proven. On the other hand, though, there are other things which are not rigorously proven. And the Rambam is saying that normally when people make choices, they don't make choices which are thoughtful choices, but they make choices which many times are based upon either their upbringing or based upon certain types of agendas, right? Like I said before, negias, right? But says the Rambam that it's certainly possible for a person to extricate himself, right, from all of these a priori, agendas or prejudices, and a person could achieve some type of objectivity. So the Rambam is basically telling us that in making choices between two opinions, it's possible to actually make an intelligent opinion with some sort of objectivity. Ulam l'shem kach titzarech l'mispat tanayim. But the Rambam says that if a person wants to make an intelligent choice, there are three requirements that are important. Reishis, number one. Sheteida es midas toiv da'atcha v'es shleimos tiv'acha mileida. In other words, doba zeh yizbar lecha shah shetet amen b'chol alimudim ha-matematiyim v'tasik es chok toras ha-igoyin. Basically, a person, literally, what the Rabbim is saying is, a person has to know the good, I mean, I'm using the translation of Professor Schwartz, who says that this word, midas tuv da'atcha, is the Arabic word Judah Dunach, Danach, whatever that means is, and he says in English that means the good quality of your mind. Right? In other words, I think what the Rambam is trying to say is a person has to make use of the good quality of a mind. And the Rambam says, how does a person come to recognize that he does have a good quality of his mind? So the Rambam says a person, you know, it's clear that a person has a good mind when he, you know, when he does mathematics. When he learns logic. In other words, basically, you have to be confident that your mind is capable, you know, of thinking logically. You know, some people might think that they're incapable of thinking logically. The Rambam says no. I mean, people learn mathematics, people learn logic, and everybody, at least, you know, intelligent people should realize that, you know, their mind is capable of performing, logical calculations. That's the first condition. Hatanaya Shein, the second condition is, Yediyas haphysika lo'oimka achideda es hasfekas bashir lemisusa. You know, the thing is that a person has to know physics deeply, right? And when a person knows physics deeply, then he could truly understand doubts that are raised respect to a physical theory. Once again, the Rambam is going to ultimately compare between the comparison between creation and eternity. Right, involves physics. So therefore, a person has to make an intelligent decision has to understand the physics. This says, if you don't understand physics, you're not in a condition to make a proper decision. Right? Not like today that people, you know, choose based upon absolute ignorance. But the Rambam says that if a person is, you know, making a decision, a person has to be aware of all the background and understand it very deeply. Okay, that's the second condition. Now, what's the third condition? So, the Tanaya Shlishi, the third condition is Midas Secha. Ah, your Midas. Very interesting. The Rambam actually brings in Midas here. A person's good quality, was a person's ethical qualities, right? Ki kasher Adam Moitzias Nafsho Noita El Ha Taiva Vahanois. If a person finds that he's driven towards a desire, right? Or he likes to get angry. In other words, if a person is drawn towards either physical drives or emotional drives, right? The person sometimes basically gets angry and throws off the thing he reins, the things that hold him back. There's no difference whether a person gets naturally angry or somehow, you know, decides to become angry. Someone says a person will always mess up. In other words, a person will never be able to come to a true opinion because he'll let his emotions or his physical desires will let them get in the way. Basically, the Rambam says that he's going to always look for opinions that are going to serve, right, his either physical or emotional desires. Now, it's very, very interesting over here, is the Rambam is saying, let's summarize. The Rambam is basically listing three conditions for making a decision. Number one is, says Maimonides, says the Rambam, right, a person has to recognize that his mind is capable of logical thinking, right? That's number one. Number two, a person has to acquire a deep knowledge of the subject matter, in this case, a deep knowledge of physics. And number three, a person has to learn to have a certain amount of self-control. In other words, if a person has different types of emotional or physical desires, these can get in the way of a person making a rational or intelligent decision. That's what my modern society is saying. Okay, now once again, the question is, you know, popping up in our minds. I mean, why is Maimonides saying all of this? And we'll speak about this in a little while, okay? Now, goes on, we're still on page 335 in the third paragraph. So the Bible says, I'm telling all this that you shouldn't be enticed. Says Maimonides, right? It's very, very possible that a person is going to falsely, right, create a doubt in the opinion of creation, right? And what you're going to do is, you're going to easily be enticed. He's going to let you fool him. You're going to let him fool you. In other words, a person, right, can easily be fooled, right, with respect to the theory of creation. In other words, says Maimonides, this is a very serious thing. Why? Because the opinion of this Deya, this opinion, in fact, Tomenes, you know, hides the obligation of self-control that upon which is based the Torah, or Pekia Balaya, and I guess blasphemy. Pekia Balaya is blasphemy against God. Maybe it means idolatry here, right? In other words, very, very interesting. Should always be suspicious of this. Basically, you should accept, right, the Omad HaTavach, the central pillar, right? Right? You should accept the words. Let's go back again. You should therefore accept the words of the two prophets, which are the pillar, right, of the correct of the correction, the perfection of the human race, right, in its beliefs and its organization. Do not deviate from the opinion of the creation of the world, right, based upon hochacha maivsis, a rigorous proof, which obviously says to be an apparent proof. Because basically, such proofs basically don't exist. Very interesting. The Rambam here is, it seems to me that we have an apparent, we have an apparent here, interesting contradiction. Up to now, I think over the last 13 lectures, we've come to be convinced, at least some of us, or some parts of us, be convinced that the Rambam is a very, very reasonable, rational person. And the Rambam, of course, in all of this, as well as Reza Bar Nevuchim, extols the virtue of rational thinking and clarity of thought, of logic. Here comes the Rambam, and it sounds like a Baal Musa, Chas V'Shalom, right? Something wrong, it sounds like a Baal Musa. The Rambam is basically claiming that the person should not give in to the enticement of intellectualism, right? But rather, a person should control his emotions, right? And accept upon himself the creation of the world as expounded by the two prophets, namely Avraham Avinu Moshe Rabbeinu. Which means the Rambam, there seems to be a very, very interesting thing over here. First of all, the Rambam seems to be saying, and I'm saying this with a certain amount of humility, the Rambam seems to be saying is that the selection or the decision, right, in opting for the theory of creation is a sense an ethical decision. That's what the Rambam seems to be saying. What the Rambam is saying is is that, I mean, the Rambam in the first three conditions, which he listed, when I make decisions, expressed the points that a person has to restrain himself, right? You shouldn't let his emotions overcome him. And says Maimonides, now says Maimonides, therefore, right? Rambam says is that that the theory of the creation of the world, right, has within it the obligation, or stresses the obligation, of controlling. I think I read this wrong. I said harisas abasis. In other words, once again. No, I read this wrong. I'm sorry. Let's go back again. In other words, harisas abasis means the structure of the foundation. I think I read this as a person being overcome by emotion. Resed. I read this between resed and harisas. In other words, says the Rambam, don't be fooled by people who are going to prove to you, right, give you rigorous proofs that the world cannot have been created, right? Because, right, that the, but you should know that the creation contains within it, right, the basis for the Torah and for monotheism, or, you know, right, and against blasphemy. And therefore, you should, you know, accept the words of the prophets, right? Right, who are coming to rectify mankind, both in his opinions and his organization, right? And don't rely upon hoichacha maipsis, upon rigorous proofs, right, which don't exist. Now, what's the Rambam saying? The Rambam seems to be saying that choosing for creation is really an ethical decision. I'm going back to this. In other words, the Rambam is making an emotional appeal. The Rambam at the beginning, right? In other words, in the second paragraph of 335, says, look, a person, right, should extricate himself from his upbringing and from his prior prejudices and from his lusts, and make a rational decision and weigh the pros and cons in an objective manner, right, between the two opinions of creation and eternity. And then all of a sudden the Rambam makes a turnaround and says, you know, don't be fooled by these people who are offering rigorous proofs, right? Right? Because you should know that the theory of creation, right, is the message of Avraham Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu, upon which is based the Torah, right, and which avoids, right, right, and the worship of God, right? What is Maimonides saying? Now Maimonides seems to be saying he's making a religious appeal. This, I mean, just because something, an opinion, serves as the basis. Because Maimonides says that if I believe in eternity, this destroys the foundation upon which the Torah stands. I'm sorry, but once again, the Torah stands. I have to reread it again, right? And it's a blasphemous to God. It was eternity is blasphemous to God. That's the Rambam saying. And therefore, now the Rambam is screaming like a kanoi. He's a kanoi. He's saying that Aristotle, right, is offering me, right, an opinion that is in fact what? That in fact blasphemous is a pegiyah in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? And not only that, it destroys the foundations of the Torah. Destroys the foundations of the Torah, right? It sounds like the Goyin and the Goyin of Shechayim combined against Chassidus, right? The Goyin held the Balatanya was a mit, that's Pegiyah Be'aloya, and the Nefesh Shechayim held the Balatanya destroyed the foundations upon which the Torah is based. So the Rambam is actually combining the Nefesh Shechayim and the Goyin in his attack on Aristotle. I don't understand something. Maimonides just told me a little while ago, you know, be objective. Extricate yourselves of agendas, of prejudices, see things logically. And then he says, don't give in to the Yetzer Hara. Don't be fooled by these people who are offering you proofs, even though the Rambam has already said, if the person offers me a proof, then in fact, actually, you know, I should accept the proof. Maybe the Rambam says there aren't proofs, whatever it is. But the Rambam says, don't destroy the foundations of the Torah, and don't destroy the foundations of monotheism. That's what the Rambam is saying is. And the Rambam says that the Aristotelian system of eternity is in fact destroying the foundations of monotheism and the foundation upon which the Torah is based. Now, well, he says, Pigia Baalaya. So maybe this means monotheism. Right, I take that back. Pigia Baalaya means you're blasphemous towards God. Although, according to the Rambam, it was a little bit mashma previously, apparent previously, that actually Aristotle's eternity actually is the best type of monotheism. So I guess Pigia Baalaya means blasphemous to God's will, to his mitzvahs. That's what the Rambam is saying. I mean, what's going on here? What's going on here? How can the Rambam say something like this? And this is the Rambam. V'gam, and don't attack me. V'gam ayavak to oisi, amayim b'sefezeh. And don't criticize me, you who are, you know, my reader. Because I've said things, amati d'vomitorium. Ah, now I'm acting like a kanoi. The Rambam is aware of the fact he's acting as a zealot. As a kanoi, he's acting as a kanoi. The Rambam says, don't attack me for being for being a fanatic. I said, Devar Metoyen certainly speaks about rhetorical things. In other words, diatribes. In order to support, right, the creation. Shereisha philosophim, the head of the philosophers, Aristotle. Amma b'chishuvah shebesifra of Devar Metoyen. Aristotle also brings rhetorical things, right? In order to maintain the opinion of Kadmos Oilam. Right? And therefore, in this, we can say, it's not clear whether this is actually an explicit quote, right? Our Torah, right? Our complete and perfect Torah shall not be Kasicha b'teila shalahem, like their idle chatter, idle talk. Very, very strong from and kanoyas of Maimonides. In Mutaymech has died to behevle hatzaba, right? If he bases his opinions on the stupidities of the tzabaya, which were the pagans, which the Rambam refers to, ech loydit moich oisa anu b'divrei Moshe v'Avram. How can we not, in fact, rely upon the words of Moshe b'Avram, uvachol hanaveya b'kach, and everything that's a consequence of that. Wow. This parak, this chapter, is an incredible turnaround in everything that the Maran Nevuchim, the Gvai Perplexed, has been presenting up till now. Okay? Now, what's the purpose of this chapter? What's the purpose of this chapter? This chapter, I mean, it's what's called in Yiddish the shrei, the scream. Well, as many times when you want to make a point, you just scream. You call names, you passle, right? The Rambam is basically passling Aristotle. In fact, he's very interesting. This is he claims that Aristotle is actually basing his opinions on stupidities of the pagans, and he's calling it sicha b'teila shalahem, right? What exactly is the Rambam doing? And what's interesting is that the Rambam devoted an entire chapter towards calling Aristotle names. I understand that. But he began the chapter by extolling the virtues of moderate thinking and objective comparison of opinions based upon their points, you know, which are for them or against them. How can the Rambam turn around and basically convert this into a diatribe, right? I mean, if anything, the Rambam seems to be unleashing his own passions, right? Which is very opposite of what he's talking about. So in other words, the entire chapter is in fact calling out Dao Sheni. In other words, I need to be understood. Okay? What is the Rambam doing in this chapter? Okay. I think ultimately, if we compare this chapter to the previous chapter, which is a chapter 22, on page 334, the Rambam seems to have made an entirely different point. The Rambam, in the last section of chapter 22, said clearly that there are, in other words, there are different sfeikas, there are doubts that can be raised with respect to both theories, and therefore both theories are a tie. And since both theories are a tie, it's a taker, it's a tie, right? Then a person, right? A person, therefore, can choose whatever he wants. So therefore is choosing to rely upon the revelation, right, which is the opinion of Avraham Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu, who are the prophets of the Kodesh Baruch. In other words, the Rambam says, after a person has reached an intellectual impasse, and a person cannot make a rational choice between two theories, then a person could always use revelation as a way of resolving, right, two competing theories. So in other words, the Rambam there was certainly much more held back. Here, the Rambam is coming along and taking an entirely different position. And right now, in fact, actually, based upon this, we can understand really for the beginning of chapter 23. The Rambam is saying that the Rambam began the chapter by saying that a person doesn't count the amount of doubts that are raised with respect to each opinion. Because one doubt, right, could be, right, could deal a death blow. In other words, one doubt can be equal to 1,000 opinions. So Maimonides says is that the doubts, right, in other words, basically the doubt which is raised with respect to the eternity of the world has terrible repercussions. What are the repercussions? Repercussions are it destroys the foundation upon which the foundation of the Torah and God's the Begiyah and God's will. In other words, the Rambam saying is you have to understand something. In other words, one doubt can destroy. In other words, it is true that I might have more doubts which support eternity than creation. But you should know something is that, in other words, in creation, it destroys the entire foundation of the Torah. So in other words, the Rambam is presenting me with an entirely different reason for opting for creation. It's not because the two things are more or less the same. In other words, I could compare two opinions and say more or less there's a intellectual balance between the two, and therefore I can resolve the balance with prophecy. The Rambam is basically saying is that opting for the opinion of eternity destroys the foundation of the Torah, and in fact is a incitement against God, against God's will, ethical will, and for this reason, and the Rambam says that how can, in other words, even though you claim, says Maimonides, that I'm relying upon diatribe and rhetoric, etc., right? Nonetheless, says Maimonides, Aristotle's also, relying upon rhetoric too. It's almost as if, before this they were fighting with boxing gloves, and now they took off their gloves, and they're fighting with fists. So exactly what's going on? In other words, chapter 23, right, seems to be, not only chapter 23 very difficult, because the Rambam first begins by saying be moderate, and then the Rambam's not being moderate, but in addition to that, there's a, besides there being a intra-chapter difficulty, there's an inter-chapter difficulty, because chapter 23 is certainly almost a contradiction to chapter 22, right? So how are we, in fact, actually intended to explain this seemingly strange turnabout in Maimonides?
There, in 22, he was saying that prophecy is going to
resolve a doubt. Right. And here he's saying that Aristotle is saying nonsense. In other words, don't be enticed by these things. And it's very interesting, right? Okay, now, you have to mention, what is the real truth? What is the real truth, right? Of course, one can always, right, those claim that maybe, it seems to be a direct thing. What is the real truth? I suspect, right, once again, one can raise several theories, several resolutions. One could suspect, that what what Maimonides is doing is that, in other words, clearly Maimonides feels that that Aristotle has not proven rigorously the eternity of the world. So Maimonides says, don't let someone convince you that he's proven it. He hasn't proven it. In other words, whoever claims that you can prove the eternity of the world is saying nonsense. In other words, what Maimonides is saying is that don't let someone convince you that he's proven something when he hasn't proven something. Because as Maimonides says above, the Rambam says above, right? And the fact is that, in other words, even though a person can make a decision, a person should not confuse himself between things which are proven, things which are not proven. In other words, the Yetzer Hara is, the evil inclination is, that a person should believe that things are absolutely proven and not proven. And the Rambam clearly understands that Aristotle's theory of the eternity is an opinion, a point of view. But it's not something which has been proven. In other words, there are things which are proven. The eternity of the world is not one of these things. Now, if in fact a person is claiming that he can prove the eternity of the world, the Rambam says, then that's nonsense. He's speaking nonsense. That's a void of Zala. That's idolatry. Why is it idolatry? Because the person is worshipping something which is a straw man. So, in other words, what the Rambam is shouting at, the Rambam is saying, you have to make a clear decision, but once again, you have to rid yourself of emotion or of your upbringing. Your upbringing or your emotions, right, might in fact lead you to believe or to think that Aristotle has proven these things thoroughly. It says the Rambam, Aristotle has not proven these things thoroughly. This is a bluff, it's sheker, it's false, and therefore, whoever says these things is saying what's called devarim b'tehillim. In other words, he's saying these are things which are idle. In other words, he hasn't proven anything. In other words, Maimonides is not coming to tell me I should make a rational decision. I should make a rational decision. But I shouldn't be enticed by thinking people have proven things. They haven't proven anything. In other words, the problem is, says the Rambam, many people have been educated to think that there are certain absolute truths, one of which is some of Aristotle's theories, including in particular the theory of the eternity of the world, and Mani says this is not an absolute proof. In fact, actually, the Rambam in previous chapters that we've seen has shown clearly that Aristotle himself understood that what? That he hadn't proven anything, it was an assumption. Don't confuse an assumption with the proof. So, says the Rambam would understand, if a person believes that something which is really an assumption is really proof, in fact, that's idleness. That's devarim b'tehillim, that's vacuous things. And in fact, in other words, that's only emotion. If a person tries to say something's proven, it's not proven, it's only emotion. And the Rambam says that, in other words, you can't use emotion to blind you, especially when the consequences of that is the destruction of the foundations of the, of the Torah and blasphemy to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. In other words, that's what the Rambam is saying. In other words, things which have not been proven, right? A person should not be enticed to think that they're proven. Let no one convince you these things have been proven. That's what the Rambam is saying. I was actually very recently speaking to a group of students. I don't want to go into what I was speaking about. That someone tried to convince them to prove to them something which obviously you mean it's not really a proof. And it turned them off. Why did it turn them off? Because when a person tries to claim that a person believes something and he's got a rigorous proof, and in fact, actually, he doesn't have a rigorous proof, then basically he's talking nonsense. It's a type of idolatry. What is idolatry? Idolatry is a person who basically, he's out of kilter when it comes to, in other words, idolatry for the Rambam basically means not knowing the truth. A person is confused to the truth of the world, the truth of God. That's called idolatry. So in other words, these students were very, very put off by this person. I think that they would have, they were very, intelligent students. They would have probably used the same words as Maimonides. Maimonides is saying is that to to blur the distinction between what can be rigorously proven and things which are intelligent, you know, are intelligent opinions but not rigorously proven, is a very, very serious thing, and a person has to a person could come to believe in this because of his upbringing, and a person has to step back and understand that certain things are not proven. That's an important thing. So in other words, really, I think what the Rambam, what Rambam is really saying is, you could understand, and I know this is a conservative interpretation, but it's fine. The chapter 23 is just coming to support chapter 22. That really there is, you know, two opinions, neither of which can claim to be rigorously proven, and therefore a person opts for revelation. But in other words, now the fact is, the fact is that if a person already wants to claim that, you know, one of his opinions can be rigorously proven, then that's really disastrous, says the Rambam. Okay, I think we're gonna stop over here. I'm a little bit short today because I actually have to do something, and but I'm going to go back to this point in the next lecture, and this will be an introduction to chapter 24, which is a very, very interesting chapter, because we're going to need some type of perspective on exactly the order of chapters. That will continue in Mitzvah Shem in the next lecture.